Come with me this week as we head into the depths of the SRS Kaiju Cinema Collection with director Anthony Polonia's first film as a director. Will this film, thrown together in someone's backyard, measure up to be deserving of a watch? Or is this flick one to make us want to build a time machine, travel back 4 years, and try to stop ourselves from ever creating this podcast? This is Kaiju vs. History, Zillafoot.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your Bigfoot enthusiast, Patrick, as a host here, and joining me as a co-host, someone adding Zilla as a suffix to everything unfairly, it's Miles. Hey, Miles.
Thank you, Patzilla.
Not everything could be a Zilla, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a thing that, like, I feel like there is this always this drive to add Zilla to something to make it, you know, a god tangentially related to Godzilla, because that is the kind of vernacular idiom.
But they've kind of flipped the script on. It's not really a suffix in this movie.
Right. It's a prefix. I remember hearing about this movie. I feel like I saw the trailer of some sorts, and I justifiably just never made the effort to watch this film. And I would say, Patrick, before doing this podcast, had you ever heard of this one?
No. Well, this came out very shortly before we started the podcast. And yeah, I guess I just wasn't clued in. I don't think I had even heard of SRS Cinema at that time, because I don't think they had many a kaiju film. I think they were mostly horror stuff.
Yeah, I think it was mostly horror and like kind of softcore stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't on my radar, but I will say in the year 2020 and 2021, we were getting ready for Kaiju versus History, putting together the list. I was so confused. There were so many movies in and around the 2020 area that I had to take a look at, and watching a trailer for this one, I was like, really? This movie? Like, this is what SRS Cinema chose to put out? I was very confused. But yeah, you know, spoiler warning, there are quite a few, you can't even call them micro budgets. We'll talk about them. But what is known as zero budget filmmaking that got.
Yeah, this is certainly a league of its own.
not DVD, but Blu-ray releases, I think, on SRS Cinema. But yeah, that is what we are in for this week. 2019's Zillafoot.
Well, Patrick, before we get into it, just tell us, what's the title?
Well, like I said, it is odd that they didn't go for Zilla as a suffix. You know, Footzilla, I guess.
Footzilla just sounds even worse.
I will say, I kind of like the title Zillafoot, because obviously Bigfoot is the suffix that they're playing with.
I actively hate it. I hate it okay. A lot.
I will say it sums up what you're getting with this movie, just a couple things kind of smashed together, and you know, it's bad. It being a bad title is good, because it kind of warns you what you're about to watch.
Yeah, there is certainly a je ne sais quoi about this film. Like, everything makes sense as you watch it. You're like, oh yes.
So I mean, spoiler, it is a Godzilla and Bigfoot kind of mashup in this movie. And considering the other combinations we could have got between those two prefix/suffixes, it could have been Bigzilla, which I kind of like as well, or Godfoot, which is not very good. Or you could just combine all four of the articles there, and movie could have been called Big Godfootzilla.
Yeah, I mean,
so Zillafoot,
I feel like it's devoid of any creative integrity.
Miles, what's this movie about? Can you actively give me a plot? And spoiler warning, I'm going to need it, because I think in this podcast's first, I've definitely fallen asleep during movies, but this is a DNF, did not finish movie for me.
Oh, you didn't finish it.
I feel like I previewed it years ago when I added it to the list. And yeah, once was enough. Like, I scrubbed through it at that point and I was like, wow, what are we in?
I was not privy to this information before subjecting myself to the entire thing.
Well, I got like 45 minutes into the
that does like, not count.
It's like 65 minute runtime. No, but I've watched it before. I just
the plot is actually pretty simple. Like, there's a meteor that we kind of quickly take for a UFO, crash lands. People are investigating it. Aliens get involved and unleash a monster upon the Earth called Zillafoot. But this is a world that has previously encountered kaiju, as we are gloriously shown with the stock footage at the beginning of this movie, of kind of like a hot garbage monster verse. You've got like Raiga and Konga and Gappa, and the entire time when I'm watching this opening bit, I'm just like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, the confusing thing about that is I think this movie came out like before even God Raiga versus King Oga, and I think there are clips from that movie in this one, but I wasn't able to confirm because both those movies, the second and the third movie, share some footage. So
I think the first thing that like people need to be aware about this movie is this is like a hair away from a home video. These cameras, for the most part, are, I mean, they're high definition, but they're not professional. And the audio quality and style changes several times throughout the movie, because the very beginning is kind of normal. I mean, it sounds like they didn't have proper audio equipment, but like it sounds normal. And then it cuts to overdubbed so that it has the kind of mouth is moving, but not matching the audio on screen kind of situation.
Yeah. And maybe that was supposed to like
that. No, that was absolutely on purpose. But it's so bad.
It's so hard to watch.
No, the audio tracking is abysmal. And I mean, they are clearly, when they're doing their tracks, clearly in another room. And like, you hear the fuzz as if someone pressed a microphone. And it's, I mean, the thing is like, there's so much to hate, but also so much to kind of admire at the same time. About this movie being made, it is clearly a group of people, or at least, you know, obviously this is the son of someone who has done many, many zero budget films.
Yeah. So the director of this film is Anthony Polonia, who is the son of very famous schlock zero budget filmmaker Mark Polonia, who most recently people might know as having made Cocaine Shark. Like Cocaine Bear, but a shark movie. Yep. And in the 90s, he shot on like VHS home video a horror movie called Feeders, an alien mm-hmm. horror movie, which I would say has kind of like a cult bad movie status.
Yes. Yeah. It's certainly kind of like in that psychotronic, you know, field, I feel like. And people who enjoy that kind of stuff, for sure. Great.
Not for
me. I mean, there is a wide variety of like next to homemade filmmakers that kind of are out there. And on one hand, you know, the technology that the computer age has kind of given us, especially in the new millennium, has helped level the playing field in some regards, especially when it comes to horror. I mean, Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity showed everyone that, hey, if you have your friends some good ideas for some tricks and a camera, you can make a horror movie in your backyard for less than $1,000. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and
they made Feeders for probably less than that in the 90s. And
yeah,
VHS distribution. It was kind of big in video stores. And
yeah. And it's also like there's always been a soft spot. I mean, Troma, that's their entire history, you know, mm-hmm. by doing like, you know, Class of Nukem High and Surf Nazis Must Die, like that kind of stuff is certainly some people's bread and butter. Now, the problem when trying to implement that with a kaiju film, and I mean, the people involved clearly love kaiju films, like that. There is no question about that. Like, yeah. half of the cast is suspiciously wearing like Japanese movie posters on their chests. But mm-hmm. like, you see a lot of toys in the background and like clearly these people's actual homes and collections. And you know that there is at least a passion for this genre here. Like, there's no question about that. The problem is that the kaiju genre is not a great equalizer. It is something that really depends on some sort of effect, because you have to have a monster, and the monster has to be worth looking at. And that doesn't happen here.
I mean, they've stapled together parts of a lizard-like monster for the arms of Zillafoot, and then just like the regular parts of a Bigfoot costume. And that is...
I wouldn't even say it's a Bigfoot costume. It just seems like a typical monkey, like a gorilla outfit.
Face-wise, I think the face mold that they have for Zillafoot is a little different. But it is rough stuff. It feels... You know what it feels like? It feels like the monster suits from the 1970s Kong knockoffs that we churned through.
Yes.
Your ape.
My apocalypse.
Queen Kong actually had a pretty good suit, but yes, the ape apocalypse, Mighty Peking Man, Yeti, those
movies. Right. So, I mean, there's, and that's a problem, because, I mean, the thing is, your budget, for the most part, you can always work around that in many genres and stories. Here, it's tough. But the thing is, it's not just that this is a low budget picture. Like, if you had a solid story and you had a bunch of other elements that were like really, really, really strong, like, your movie's still going to kind of work. Like, you know, that's been the case with, you know, Noor Kawasaki, you know, like, very cheap movies, but he's got a competent tone for the most part. Now, it's not always consistent, but like, the man knows exactly what kind of movie he's making. Mm-hmm. And I find that sometimes there are some creators that seem to just relish in the cheapness in a way that doesn't really work for me. Like, I don't mind a cheap movie. Like I said, I've watched Troma stuff, but there is sort of a, oh, well, it's a cheap movie aspect about it that, like, people love saying, oh, well, it's because it's a satire of bad movies. And I feel like that is a bad faith claim. It certainly would be if anyone mentioned it in this one. There are some things like that. There are some funny lines and there's some funny jokes here, but there's also stuff where, like, someone clearly flubs the line and just repeats it, and they just didn't do another take.
Yeah, there's so many elements. But besides Zillafoot in this movie, there's also like kind of an alien scorpion like creature, which is like stop animated, you know, which is or puppeted in various parts.
Yeah,
surprisingly competently. And then there's also an alien Ultraman.
Yeah, the Ultra Supreme Squad or something.
Which is just seems like a prefabricated kind of bodysuit with a very incongruous mask on it, you know?
Well, that, and like, I also love that it's a bunch of super white dudes with Japanese names.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, that was a little weird, but.
No, I'll tell you what was weird. Very beginning of the movie, you have this guy who is like watching the sky, who is on a kind of a virtual conversation with like his one of his buddies from this SETI type group, this group that investigates, you know, or watches the sky. And the other person he's talking to is a literal child who like got himself some potato chips and a Mountain Dew. And every single time he takes a bite of a chip, he goes, as if he's surprised the chip is yummy. Mm. And it is a character choice that drove me absolutely nuts.
So the one of the things I couldn't get, I mean, there's a million things I can't get over in this movie, but the aliens that are first using Zillafoot in the film, mind controlling it or whatever, whenever we see them, it seems like they have an okay mask, but there's a special warbling effect.
Like they're out of space and time is what they're trying to convey, I think.
But the first thing we get with them is like a voiceover where we can like hear their thoughts. But then after that, there's no more voice acting. We're just reading text on the screen with no audio. I'm like, what are we doing here? Just someone get in there and read those lines. It's so odd. It's like they're not even making noise. It's like maybe they're communicating psychically, but it just doesn't make for like, it's like minute long scenes of them, you know. We're just reading. I feel like I should compliment Sandwich this movie somewhat. There's not a lot that I...
Well, like. You have a weird nugget that's interesting about the history of this movie and whether or not it's true.
Well, there's not a lot. There's a lot of reviews written about this. A lot of schlock kind of reviewers. And people enjoy this movie. And, you know, more power to you. But one of my favorite kaiju movie reviewers on YouTube, Interweb Kaiju, did a review on this film. And obviously they were fairly unimpressed, I guess is a good way to put it, with the film. They basically said they buy just about anything from SRS, and I'm in the same camp as them. But on that YouTube video, there is a comment that claims to be from the director, from Anthony Polonia at Anthony Polonia 6098. And if you go to their YouTube channel, it has like test footage and things from various films. So I think it is from them.
Wow. And
this is from 2021 or 2022. So his comment, I think kind of in defense of the film, I'll read it here, is, "I have to say," or quote, "I have to say, I made the movie and I don't enjoy it." This is the director saying, "I don't enjoy the movie that I made. It had many issues, but it is what it is. The main issue being I never got all the money I was told would be the budget. Also, I found out I wasn't going to get paid halfway through the production. So I just stopped and threw in the test effects. SRI Cinemas and its main owner, Ron Bonk, wasn't happy with the fact I was trying, which most of his movies, you can say, are no good. Also, he was mad I discovered quickly I was not getting paid. Guess Zilla Foot fits into his company in that respect of being bad. And when I told Ron, you get what you pay for, this is the result of having $300. So supposedly that is the budget for this film. Yeah, so it sounds like there's some bad blood between Anthony Polonia and Ron Bonk, the executive producer of this film. But I don't think it lasted, because I'm pretty sure he's put out more movies. Anthony Polonia has directed more movies and put them out through SRS Cinemas since, because he did House Squatch, Doll Shark. But Zillafoot, maybe importantly, is his first film. This is his first directorial. He's a fairly young guy. I think he's like in his 20s still.
Well, and I mean, you get the idea that, like, I will say this. This film ends abruptly. Like, it literally, like, the climax is about to start, and then, like, it literally just says, "To be continued in Zillafoot 2, Planet of the Monsters," or whatever it says. Like, and it's, I mean, like, it's just, like, basic, like, Comic Sans pops up. And the movie's over. Like, I
wait for the sequel.
Well, no, I think he did that purely because, like, all right, we're stopping production. This is what this is how it ends. And so if this story is true, that makes sense, because the movie doesn't have an ending. It literally just, like, a scene cuts off and it says to be continued in Zillafoot 2.
Well, thankfully, before that in the movie, there's like 10 to 20 minutes of, like, people, like, podcasters talking about, like, the kaiju attacks and stuff to pad this film out to
someone who was clearly didn't have lines prepared, because they felt like they were just ad-libbing. This was amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. That's all they kept saying.
To be fair, if an actual kaiju attack happened in real life, that's probably what I would be saying. I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, I feel for the victim so much, but.
I also feel like there's a bit where they 100% stole the Chupacabra joke from Red versus Blue. And I was not impressed by that. The one funny scene, because for the most part, the army guys are the worst part of the movie. But there is a bit where the guy asks if he can call his wife before his last mission. And the guy leans up very close to him and gives him kind of that reassuring face and goes, "No." And that was pretty funny. Also love seeing whoever the goofball is in the yellow, like, Mothra shirt or whatever, driving around in a Kia Soul. Man of the people right there.
So that's our main character, Flash, played by Dave Fite.
I don't think he's our main character, though.
Isn't he? The guy with the
I know who you're talking about, but journalist. I feel like it's probably, like, everyone else. Like, I don't know if this movie has a main character, to be honest.
Oh, I get what you're saying. But towards the beginning, him and the lady kind of take off. Her character name is listed here as Zuri?
Missouri? Yeah, Missouri, yeah.
Right, but it's almost spelled like the state.
I know,
By Cassandra Hayes. I feel like if they got their actual voice and audio recorded live and it wasn't like 80 yard, it wouldn't have been that bad. But boy, howdy, their dialogue is very sexist, very misogynist.
Oh, yeah.
Did not enjoy their relationship because they were together. I forget. It doesn't matter.
They were exes for sure.
It's not a plot. It doesn't matter. I will say, oh boy, I'm going to throw out one thing I did like about this movie, and that is the credits. I actually enjoy the Ultraman style credits of the film. We have both a opening and a kind of closing credits, but I want to know more about these monster kind of silhouettes.
So a lot of them were like either from other SRS movies, mm-hmm. or stuff like your Gappa, your Raigas, your Kongas, stuff like that.
You got the squid from Monster Seafood Wars, and there's just a shark, just like a giant shark.
Yeah, which I couldn't tell if it was a reference to all of the, like, the Asylum-esque shark movies,
yeah.
and even the ones that he would do in the future, or if it was supposed to be Jaws.
Hey, to go. There you go. I said one good thing about this film. the credits. I liked when the credits ran.
I mean, this one is tough to get through because, I mean, it doesn't really have... I mean, it doesn't have a good script, but even among that, here's the thing. If I was in a film class a film club in high school, and someone delivered this to me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, this is pretty good. Like, in terms of like, oh, me and my friends shot this in the backyard over the weekend. But that is not the curve upon which I really grade my movies. But there is a degree of respect I have for getting this stuff made. And like I said, there is a clear love for kaiju cinema here. Like, at least visually, like these dorks have all of the posters. They clearly are like us, who have seen every kaiju movie ever made, even going into like Raiga.
The folks that they got in the movie, I just don't know necessarily if the director, if Anthony Polonia, has that much a respect for it. But yeah, when they get to the like podcaster segments, this one guy has two toy walls of every single kaiju.
And he's got like some Pogasari, like he had a Pogasari versus Young Gary t-shirt on.
Oh gosh, he does. Wow. YVP shirt. I kind of need that. And he has
I thought the same thing. I was like, that's kind of dope. I kind of like that shirt a lot.
He has we should get him on the podcast. He has a Polgatsari toy up front. And yeah, those parts I enjoyed, but I would rather watch a YouTube video of these guys talking about movies than this movie any day of the week.
Well, and that's the thing is, I it's one of those things where, like, you know, especially if it's true that, like, you know, he was getting completely railroaded and not getting money, you kind of fall on bad humor. Now, that's not to say that I'm going to give them too much credit, because most of the stuff they write is very stock. It doesn't really have any panache to it. I do think that some of the clearly hired, seem to be hired actors were pretty decent for as goofy as their roles were. I thought Cassandra Hayes' Missouri was pretty fun. Wayne Johnson as Dr. Mosku, I thought was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. But then there's like some nonsensical sequences that I'm just like, I like the surreal, or not even the surreal, the absurdist nature of what's happening right now, but it's also so stupid. Like the mobster that had stolen someone's dog. But then there's the odd sequences where it's like, did they just flat out reuse a take and just not say anything about it? Like there is this sequence where you have a news reporter who is a luchador, and there's like a 30-second scene of silence of him trying to figure out what he's doing. Like, there's no sound, and then the scene plays again with sound. And like, I watched this on Tubi. This is the official version that's uploaded to Tubi.
It is on Tubi. It is unbelievably on
Tubi. So like, seeing some of this kind of stuff, I'm just like, what is happening right now?
El Sapo Blanco. Yeah, I don't know how much more I could talk about this movie. Are you ready to get to rating it?
Yeah, let's go ahead and rate this bad boy.
What do you got for personal enjoyment? Where are you sitting on Zillafoot?
Well, I mean, so last week we talked about Godzilla, King of the Monsters, which, I mean, a 10 out of 10 movie if there ever was one. And I was going into this, I'm like, are we about to have two 10 out of 10s back to back?
And then you answered that question, no.
And I answered that with a resounding no. I really wanted to like this movie. I really and truly did, because I do think that there is
somewhere in the filmmaker, there is a love of kaiju films. And, you know, they use a lot of the tropes from the Showa era. And, but yes, there is some weird misogynist writing. There is just some flat out bad sequences. And it undercuts any of the fun that you can have. Like I don't mind the home video aspect of it. Like, I applaud that. Like, as funny as that first sequence was with, like, the goober on the mountaintop talking to the child on the computer, like, I was like, no, this is kind of charming, like, in a way. But the problem is that charm runs out very, very quickly. And what you have is a very unimpressive monster. And again, it's not because they don't have a budget, but what they're able to do with that budget just isn't impressive. Like, there's not a lot of strong performances. There's not a lot of strong humor. There's some funny parts, and there's not a lot of strong writing. And Zillafoot, one, I hate the name, and I don't really like the costume. And, you know, that's a major part, unfortunately. Like, if they had like a freaking A24 worthy script and still had like the suit they had, I could probably give it some leeway if everything else is really, really good. Like, I get it. You know, sometimes you just don't have money. That's fine. But you write around that. And this movie just, it's 60 minutes, and it feels much, much longer than that. And it's interesting because, like, I'm not as maligned about this movie as other movies that I have given a low score to.
It's actually like 77 minutes, a lot longer than I thought it was.
It wasn't an hour, and then they padded it.
There's definitely a lot of padding.
No. I think it was like they initially had an hour long release, and then it got a longer release.
Did not need to add it.
I gotta say, I did not enjoy my time with this movie at all. I'm struggling because, like, it's more apathy than like outright hatred. So, like, I feel weird giving this a score like this, but I gotta go 2 out of 10. Like, I didn't enjoy this movie. I don't want to watch it again. And it's not one that I'm necessarily going to show other people. It's not like your relationship with Yeti. Like, I'm not going to show this and be like, hey, look how bad this is. It's just like, yeah, these people had no money. That's not fun to make fun of. But the fact that, like, everything else about it sucks, like, you know, and I hate being that negative, but yeah, it's a rough one.
I can't even go that high. I look at this film. And I look at the what did end up being filmed, and that's coming from the script. And that was a lot of it, I think, you know, before the special effects or what have you, was done probably before halfway through the director found out that he wasn't getting paid or whatever. And even if that is true, like, I don't think it ruined the relationship between SRS Cinemas and the director. So regardless, we have to judge this final product on what it is and like what was able to get into this cut. You know, this has got the fart humor, the sexism, the awful audio experience of a film like Queen Kong.
Yeah.
But this is like 40 something years later, and it's still happening. Queen Kong at least had that one good song that started it all. And that,
oh no, this is not worse than Queen Kong. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is so much worse. There's very little to enjoy about this film. I will say, it is, like I said, the segments with like the podcasters, as bad as they were, as mismatched as they were in this production, were like a relief, because at least those guys like kind of were using their own audio, their own microphones. I like the kaiju shirts that a lot of the characters wore. I've written that down here. Conceptually, Bigfoot kaiju is a fun idea, but very little in this experience is enjoyable beyond that. I would 100% watch Queen Kong again before I watched this film. So I cannot rate it above that one. This is kind of fascinating to watch in a, I cannot believe this got made and like put on DVD kind of way. It's inspirational, but I'm giving it a 1 out of 10, which is, and on our scoring, is a failure. I think it is a failure of a movie, and the director kind of calls it that. For its technical, you know, I kept asking myself as I was watching this, what am I looking at? What am I supposed to be hearing? What is this plot point? Who is this character? And like, if you can't identify what is going on in a film, it makes it kind of enraging to watch, an enraging experience. Some of the scenes are just eye watering to look at. Some are just confusing. And the audio quality, at part of me, I had to stop and start watching this movie. I watched it with headphones at one point. It was just unbearable. It was ear-piercing. Some of the audio decisions. It's technically, you are able to follow the plot, but at no point did I want to. And my least favorite part of the movie, Miles, oh my gosh, I didn't even mention this. The stock footage of the divers underwater.
Oh, this is what I'm talking about, where it's like, oh, we're gonna make this terrible humor and say, oh, this is satire.
Yeah, the movie isn't supposed to be satire, is it? I'm so confused. There's
parts. So a lot of people have gone back and said, oh, this is a parody of kaiju films. And I'm like, no. You can't just back. It's like watching. Oh, what's his Tommy Wiseau like embrace what people consider The Room now? It's like no. Even back then, you were doubling down on this. Like this, you are not in on the joke. Stop that.
Technically, almost every single decision that was made in this film, if I was the director, I think I probably would have chose to do it another way or leave it out of the film completely. Like there's outside of the credits, like I said, I enjoyed the credits. There's not like a single technical aspect of this film that I thought was really redeeming. So I'm giving it a 0 out of 10 for its technical. Pretty low, pretty bottom of the barrel, obviously. I don't know if I've given a 0 out of 10. But on our scale, we have, I would like to remove my eyeballs when I watch this. What about you, Miles?
I mean, I'm of anything you can argue about this movie kind of falling apart with, it's certainly the technical. And so here I do have to concede a 1 out of 10 score. I there's not a whole lot of redeeming factors about the technicality of this film. And it's again, it's not that it's a zero budget film. It's, I mean, there's no style and there's no strong script, and it's, I don't know whose fault it is. If it's, mm-hmm. if it is the fact that, you know, this kid found out he wasn't getting paid. And so he just kind of like ghosted through the movie. That's fine. Hey, I respect that. But at the same time, like if you're going to like put something out like this, I would say finish the product, you know, finish the story. It would at least allow you to put what you wanted out there. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's easier said than done. So I can't really speak to that, but the acting is extremely subpar. The script, same. The special effects, again, not something I will like tear a movie apart if it's got terrible special effects. I'll knock it a little bit, but like you can still have a great movie with bad special effects. But this isn't it. There's when you see a sequence that they don't even bother doing a second take or even cutting the flub out, it just seems like the person doesn't care. Now, that does sort of back up what was happening behind the scenes, but that doesn't excuse it. You know, it's a lot of cardinal sins being committed here. And I it's really tough for me to like really pile on a movie like this because there is so much I respect about this kind of filmmaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to go with a 1 out of 10 here. It's pretty rough.
What about, how do you rate its importance kind of as a kaiju film?
So this one I struggle with because, you know, part of the conversation when you talk about kaiju films, as soon as the dust settles and you find yourself among other kaiju enthusiasts, you also like trading war stories. Okay, what's the worst one you saw? What's the one that was the toughest to go through? And people love throwing out some of the old reliables, especially like asylum movies, which is a cakewalk in comparison to some of the worst that we've watched. Like, I mean, King Kong, it's a war story for sure.
Kong, you mean?
You're great. Queen Kong. And then was it the Mighty Yorba?
You're just making up kaiju.
No, but there was an ape like the Yorga or something.
Gorga. Yeah.
Maybe it was the Mighty Gorga. Yeah. There were movies that like, that kind of transcend that awfulness where you like, you kind of wear it with a badge of honor. The fact that, yeah, I survived this and all I got was this terrible conversation. And I got to respect that. The fact that like, look, I do think there is an adherence to kaiju cinema here. Like they know the tropes, they know the deepest of deep cuts. And so like there is a love here. I don't know who it's from, whether it be Polonia or one of his, you know, filmmaker friends involved with this. Someone in this really loves kaiju films, or several people, and they deigned to make something. While it isn't good, I think there is something special there about that. And I mean, because it does adhere to a lot of the tropes of Kaiju Ega, I got to give it some credit. So in that respect, I'm going to have to give it a 3 out of 10.
Ugh, gross, Miles. Absolutely disgusting. I will say, I mean, it's so funny. It's like that's a high mark. That on our scale as the evocative nature is kind of guilt inducing. I am giving this a 0, which is sinful.
Oh.
Sinful on our scale. This film seems like it is honoring the spirit of kaiju cinema, and some of the folks behind it are fans of the genre. The creation of it just seemed to be an excellent time to use the catchphrase, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because they wanted to try and pump out some kind of film around this Godzilla release doesn't mean they should have made a kaiju movie. Supposedly footage or filming for this started after the 2014 Godzilla. Like it was long in the works. And like I said, conceptually, some ideas were okay. On paper, I think a lot of this could have worked, but nothing did. I mean, to me, this lacks even the charm of The Naked Monster, which was definitely a different kind of kaiju love story, love of the genre. But this is like one of the first films, along with Queen Kong, that I'm like, I'm fine if this doesn't exist. It doesn't need to be added in. So that gives you your final score, Miles, is a 2 out of 10 for Brazilfoot. And I'm at a 0 out of 10, which means we're technically kind of, I think, tying worst kaiju film ever made in Queen Kong. The podcast final for Brazilfoot is a 1 out of 10.
I would watch this before Queen Kong. For sure.
I think Queen Kong is like,
I'm not racing to the theater to see either of them, mind you.
Yeah, exactly. Not many films on this list have been sub 3. I think we can probably count them on like one hand, maybe two hands at this point.
But, I think two hands.
It is rare. And I do think this one is pretty deserving of it. So yeah, that's going to do it. I would say this is a steer clear of, even though you can find this a few places now, Tubi being one of them. There's like 12 different versions of it on YouTube under like Monster Channel, Full Movie Online, Zillafoot kind of titles. Yeah, steer clear. That will do it for us. Let us talk online on our socials at Kaiju Versus History, or you can email us Kaiju Versus History at Gmail. Join the Cosmic Crit Discord. It's another podcast that Miles and I do together. Or visit kaijuversushistory.com to see all of our episodes there. Rate and review our shows. Take a look at our Letterboxd account if you want to see our reviews in 5-star format. We do a 10 kind of point scale. So this movie would be getting a 0.5-star on Letterboxd. What are we doing next week?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we move from the $1 bin at SRS over to the bottom of the blue bin DVD section at Walmart with another Asylum film. What do you get when you throw together a kaiju movie in order to have something out at the same time as Godzilla King of the Monsters? Why, it's next week's film. That's right. Tune in next time for History Versus Monster Island. Bum, 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 bum.